Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in rural Uganda and earned a BA in Social Sciences from Makerere University and a degree in Management from Indiana University, Bloomington. In 2001, he founded the Nyaki AIDS Orphans Project, which provides free education to children who have lost one or both parents to HIV/AIDS, and he's the author of The Price of Stones, Victory from a Village, and four children's books. In 2012, he was a CNN hero. His name? Toyceje Jackson Kaguri. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to a father figure to tens of thousands of orphans in rural Uganda, Toyceje Jackson Kaguri. Sounds like kind of a Hollywood name, Jackson. So welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you. It is an honor to be here. Thank you so much. God is good.
Can we start by a little opening prayer, if you would?
Yes, sir. Let's humble ourselves for prayer. Father, Lord, we thank you. We love you. We praise you. This is your work, Lord. You've put us as vessels to do it. Use us in any way. In your name we pray. Amen.
You grew up in rural Uganda in the 70s. You were the youngest of five children. Describe, Toyceje, what it was like growing up in rural Uganda in the 70s.
So, Jack, thank you so much for having me once again. The 70s in Uganda meant that's when Idi Amin was the president of Uganda. I was born and raised in a tiny village way back there where you can't even find it on the Google map. A tiny village with mom and dad who still live there but cannot read and write anything in English. But these two parents, Jack, decided they were going to send five children to school. Five children in a school where we were walking 7.5 miles to the school and 7 to come back. Mom and dad, I can remember earlier in 1974 when I started school at 4 years old. I had sneaked out of the house many times. They got tired and sent me to school. But dad told us he could not afford 5 pencils for 5 children to go to school. So dad bought 1 pencil and lined us in front of our small house early in the morning. And I said, I know when you go to school and you don't have a pencil, the teacher is going to send you back. But I'm going to send you this pen. I'm going to send you to school, and each of you will have just a little piece of a pencil. And he took out 1 pencil. He cut one. He cut the second one. He cut the third one. He cut the fourth one, and cut the fifth one. And for 1/5 of a pencil, my journey for education started in that rural, poor, deprived village.
We hear about poverty in America. Tell us what true poverty is that you grew up with and still see today in rural Uganda.
Yeah, so you hear poverty, you hear poverty here in the United States. You see homeless people sleeping on the sidewalks. You see kids who can't afford a computer to take their classrooms. I know we have so many. You and I live in Michigan. We know we have schools that have no heat. Where I grew up, Jack, you didn't have something to eat. You didn't have something to cover yourself. You slept in a grass-thatched house. You walked barefoot to school. Your parents, if they did, there was no food to take in the morning, you pretended and covered leaves within another piece of leaf and covered them to show other kids that you have food. We were poor economically, but we were rich in our hearts. Mom and dad both were prayer warriors. Mom prayed for us, and we think Jesus is coming back the next minute. And that richness in our hearts is what kept us determined to move on and succeed to be here talking to you on this radio show.
In 1982, there was an epidemic that blows away this current COVID epidemic. It was HIV/AIDS, and it just crucified Africa. What is HIV/AIDS?
HIV/AIDS, basically, in our Uganda terms, we call it SLIM. It is an immunodeficiency syndrome, which many people know, and especially here in Michigan, we have had our superstar, Magic Johnson, who contracted HIV/AIDS, so we understand what it is and what it does. In the context of poverty, Jack, you had this virus that came through the country of poor people, the country of people who didn't go to school, illiterates, who didn't read the material, who didn't know how the body functions. HIV/AIDS jumps into your body with an immune system that is already weak and takes down your immune system until all your blood capacities cannot fight any disease. So one person dies of a headache, another one dies of a cough. And for people in my village who didn't know what this is, they didn't think it is real. There's HIV/AIDS. They said somebody died of a headache, another one was tuberculosis, another one was malaria. But as it claimed millions of people, my brother was one of the people that HIV/AIDS took. In 1996, my oldest brother, Frank, who took all the pencils that had erasers in our house, died of HIV/AIDS. 7 months later, my sister also died of HIV/AIDS. Now, when we hear of a disease, we also have to think of the consequences the disease left on these rural areas. HIV/AIDS takes at least 5 to 6 years, sometimes 6 years for a patient to die. There's no cure to this day. There is medicine to prolong your life, but they have not found a pure cure of this, and it left poverty, it left economic consequences on the country, security, because once you get it, you die.
We're talking to TwiCJ Jackson Kaguri. When we come back, we're going to ask him about January 14th, 1994. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with the founder of the Nyaki AIDS Orphans Project, TwiCJ Jackson Kaguri. Jackson, January 14th, 1994, tell us about that day.
So that day, Jack, my friend, is the day I arrived in this amazing country called the United States of America. After taking a fifth of the pencil and getting my school in Uganda, I got an opportunity to come to Columbia University in New York as a visiting scholar. I arrived on January 14th, 1994. At JF Kennedy, I was wearing my short-sleeved shirt. I had my little hand luggage, was wearing a dress, pants, and flip-flops, which were rubber made in Kenya called butter flip-flops. I arrived in the airport, walked off the plane, and right at the beginning of the plane was standing a man with a sign that said, "My name, TwiCJ Jackson Kaguri." I walked to him and he said, "Young man, how are you?" I looked at him. He was a dark young man, immigrant from Senegal. He looked at me ups and down and said, "Young man, where's your coat?" And I responded, "What coat?" And he said to me, "It's winter in America." I said, "What is winter?" He looked at me, disgusted, annoyed, but at the same time with compassion. He said, "Stand right here. I'm going to bring the car to the door." He went two miles away, brought the car, put on heat, put me in a car, turned up the heat, and drove me to Broadway, 391 Broadway, and bought me a coat so I would not freeze. That man, Jack, I have not seen him again. The coat cost him 59.80. I still have a receipt. I still have the coat. Compassion met me at the airport. at JFK and welcomed me to this amazing country of the United States.
Jackson, other than you not being royalty, you were the character Eddie Murphy played in the movie Coming to America.
And guess what? My residence was right there near Harlem, where Coming to America was shot.
All right. You mentioned in the previous segment that your older brother, Frank, died in 1996 from AIDS, leaving behind three children. And then one of your sisters in 97 also died from AIDS, leaving behind a child. And in 2001, you went back home to Uganda.
Yes, sir.
It changed your life. It changed the lives of 10,000 of people. Tell us about that trip in 2001.
Actually, before the trip in 2001, as I was finishing Columbia University in 1996, is when my brother passed away. And I had a decision to make whether to stay in New York and get a job and work at United Nations or anywhere where they did human rights. But I made a decision to go back to Uganda. My brother died in my hands. In 2001, when I went back, my nieces and nephews were growing. My nephew, my sister's son, had passed away also because he was born with HIV/AIDS. When I got to the village, I had my nieces and nephews in a car, and I had started a tradition of giving away pencils. Because I had a fifth of a pencil as a kid, I used to buy pencils and give them away to children who didn't have moms and dads, who were living with grandmothers. On that trip, there were so many children who showed up for pencils and books. Grandmothers had wrapped around my parents' small house looking for help. And I made a decision, instead of using the $5,000 I had saved to buy a house, I decided I would buy a small piece of land and build a two-room school so these children can have an opportunity to go to school and have successful lives in the future.
Tell us about the grandmothers of rural Uganda, truly living angels, please.
I've traveled all over the world, Jack, and I've met so many grandmothers. So grandmothers have an amazing love for their grandchildren. My own grandmother, when I was 9 years old and fell from a eucalyptus tree, everyone thought I was going to die. This grandmother was the only one who believed and prayed that I would not die. She spent 6 months every night coming to my hospital bed and reading me the Bible. And when I left the hospital, I found out that my grandmother did not know how to read the Bible. My grandfather would read to her and she would come and recite it. The love, the dedication my grandmother showed me stayed with me to this day. So when these kids needed to come to school and we opened the school, we also started a group for grandmothers. The grandmothers who are not necessarily related to the children who are coming to school, but can play the figure of love, caring, and taking care of these children. So we put these children in the hands of grandmothers and told the grandmothers to form groups. And those groups, Jack, should I say it now? Those groups have grown to 15,000 grandmothers. Original 50 grandmothers who were taking care of children in one school. Now we have 15,000 grandmothers, heroes, angels who love care. In the most difficult circumstances, they are taking care of more than 85,000 children who all call me daddy and uncle. What a blessing God has bestowed upon them and upon us.
And these grandmothers, taking care of 4 to 6 orphans each, they're grandsons and granddaughters. They're just out of their hearts taking strangers and helping these orphans. Talk to us, Jackson, about the life of an orphan in rural Uganda still today.
So to this day, I've given so many speeches around the world and I've demonstrated this a fifth of a pencil. As I speak to you, Jack, here I'm in Okemos, Michigan, in my house. You are in Detroit, Michigan, with an amazing background there. A child in my village will still drop out of school. It is COVID-19. They are in lockdown right now. But kids who don't have a fifth of a pencil can still drop out of school. Life and education for a child in my village is the choice they have to make between life and death. They have to pay for education so they can beat poverty and become responsible world citizens. Education for them means you survive or you die. Death might not be death, physical death, might be poverty death. To be born and die in poverty, then your children also become poor and generational of poor. So our organization breaks that cycle of systematic deprivation, systematic poverty, bringing light, not only light in terms of education, but light in loving Jesus and Christ our Savior, light in preparing them for eternity. They are orphaned physically. Jesus and our God is there now to take care of them and use people, you and I, to uplift them out of this poverty. They don't have electricity, but they know they are loved by this grandmother who will give them their cloth to cover themselves when they are going to sleep.
We're talking to CJ Jackson Kaguri, and he and his team are helping 85,000 such orphans, and the average child walks 20 miles to school each day.
Yes, sir.
20 miles each day, one way, back and forth. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. We're talking to CJ Jackson Kaguri, who in 2012 was named a CNN hero. And in 2015, he was named a global citizen. 2001, you start NAYAKA AIDS Orphans Project. In one sentence or two, what does it do?
So NAYAKA takes care of children who are orphaned because of HIV/AIDS. And pairs them with grandmothers in the community to build a sustainable community.
What does the program consist of?
So that's where I can say it in more than one sentence. We started with the school, Jack. You already established that these children are walking miles and miles. In fact, one kid walked 50 miles, 50. From one community looking for education in another community. And when I heard that child had walked for 50 miles, I went and built another school in that community. So NAYAKA now has three schools. We provide education so children can have ABCD and pencils in the classroom. But we know that these children are facing so many obstacles. So we make sure they have two meals a day. And those two meals are meals many of them eat in 24 hours. You can imagine walking 20 miles and have nothing to eat on those 20 miles. After this kid walked for 50 miles, we started a second school in another community. Jack, our students not only get education in the classroom, we also provide them two meals a day. And these two meals are the only meals many of them have in 24 hours. So what we have done is look at a child and obstacles they face in their communities and demolish these obstacles one by one. So they get education in the classroom, they get two meals a day. We have a farm that grows this food, 17 acres. We built libraries, community libraries, so children have books to read, which is why I write children books. We built a healthcare center so children can have best health care. Under this best health care is where they get sanitary products for all girls who hit puberty. Then we built a clean water system, working with Rotary International and the local government. This clean water system helps every person in the community to get water, but also helps our children get in the classroom early so they can study rather than walk distances. When we built a secondary school, call it a high school, we made it a vocational school and academic school. That way children can graduate with a skill that can help them to sustain themselves in the future. So now we are creating businesses. Then we surrounded all this with groups of grandmothers, and we provide microfinance loans to all these 15,000 grandmothers so they can all become entrepreneurs in their communities and sustain their communities regardless whether donations come in or not. So it is a holistic approach that looks at the child from birth until they graduate from college.
If you want to learn more, www.nyaki, N-Y-A-K-A global.org. N-Y-A-K-A global.org. Your team consists of 120 people in Uganda, 6 here in America. You've got to raise now about $2.5 million a year.
Yes.
How have you, I correct myself, how has God raised this kind of money each year? How does he do it?
Thank you. The first thing I learned when I started this organization 19 years ago, Jack, was this is not about me. This is God's work. And since it is God's work, I put it in your hands, God, to take care of it. And I can tell you, 19 years we have operated in Nyaka. We had a year in 2017 where we didn't meet our budget, but still we didn't cut any program. We just lived on rice and beans for a little bit and survived that year. God has provided every single penny. 85% of that 2.5 million comes from individuals like you and me. I go and speak at a school in Southfield, Detroit, or in Korea, or in Singapore, and some people now realize that instead of taking 5 cups of coffee, they can take one, and that $5 will go and buy meals for a week for one child in a school. God has provided. We have many individuals who are committed. We have some foundations and corporations that have provided clothing, bomber socks, provided 1,500 socks. We have a bank in Uganda that recently in COVID-19 provided meals and soap and essentials for 260 grandmothers. We continue to be blessed, and I know some of your listeners listening today are going to go on that website and say, use me, God, like you have used Jack to reach this program, like you have used Jackson to reach these many people, and God will provide through them. Seeds will be planted, and fig trees, mustard seeds, will be blossomed within a few more years to come.
If you want to learn more, www.nyaki.com. NYKAglobal.org. We're talking to Twee CJ Jackson Kaguri. Easy for you to say. And he's a father figure to tens of thousands of orphans and also a hero to 15,000 grandmothers taking care of these orphans. What has amazed you the most that you and your team have done this for the last 19 years?
Oh, there have been so many miracles. I can go name them the top 1,000. I can name the top 100. It's been miracle after miracle. One time, Jack, we had a kid who was crawling on all four, and the kid was born with cerebral palsy. We couldn't get this kid any medication, and eventually we ended up getting free treatment at University of Michigan Hospital in Ann Arbor for a year and a half. The kid came when he was 13, crawling on all four, in a wheelchair, went back using a walker, standing. The miracles we read Jesus performing at the pool in Bethesda, we saw it happening in the hospital here in Ann Arbor. We have seen a kid who told us when he started kindergarten, but he wanted to be a doctor so no other child would lose their dad or mom to HIV/AIDS. He was the last one in class for 6 years. When he hit the 7th year, he picked it up and took sciences. He's about to graduate as a medical doctor in cardiology in Uganda. From nothing to a doctor. We've seen grandmothers who had been beaten by their husbands and chased away from homes, but they continue taking care of children, going from nothing, sleeping on the grass, to buying a mattress and sleeping on it. In all of this, God has continued to work miracles. In 2017, when we were in Red Jack, we sat down with an individual here in Michigan who said, I see the deficit you had in 17. I am going to cover that deficit with $250,000 in one check. And when I sent him a message saying, him and his wife saying, thank you, we have been praying for a miracle, he wrote back to me and said, thank you. My wife and I also have been praying for God to use us. And your mission, our mission, is how God chose to use us. They continue to support us at a major level than any other foundation or any other individual had ever supported. God led them to the grandmothers. They went and danced with the grandmothers and came back and spread the word. Even during the COVID, organizations are closing doors. They can't feed their children. Our children are home, all 85,000 within the rural areas in lockdown. But God is still providing motorcycles to go in rural area and drop food and drop study materials. If you are ever doubted what God can do, look at Nyaka, look at those children, look at me from a fifth of a pencil to now speaking to you, Jack, after how many amazing people you have interviewed on this show. God is good, and with God, everything is possible.
Amen. We're talking to Twee C.J. Jackson Kaguri. If you want to learn more, www.nyakaglobal.org. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Rasula, host of WJR's Anything is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible. And we're talking to Twee C.J. Jackson Kaguri, who's the founder of the Nyaki AIDS Orphan Project in rural Uganda. Jackson, in some of our inner cities in America, on a typical school day, half the kids don't show up. We've got all these resources. You know, your kids would die for these facilities, for the food. Well, why is that? Your kids are walking 20 miles each way to school each day. We got the school buses. What's wrong?
Jack, it seems that the more God gives us, the more we take it for granted. Just like many of us will roar out of our amazing king and queen size beds and not remember to say a prayer to God, to thank God who helps you take those legs from that bed. We take it for granted because we have where to sleep, we have choices to make on what to wear, what to eat, what to drink, how to dress, which car to drive. We have choices to choose what coffee we drink. Seems the more God gives us, the more we forget about our blessings. Our children don't have those choices. And they know the work they will have that day determines their future. When the teacher stands in front of them, Nobody says a word for 45 minutes until the teacher is done teaching, because they know the words that come out of the teacher's mouth determines whether they pass their exam at the end of the month to go to next level of education. Our children have too much. They take it for granted. There's no reason why anybody in this country, regardless how poor they are, no reason not to get education. It is free. You have a public library. You can take a bus to the public library. I pay taxes in Michigan. I understand how much goes into the bus. The bus is empty most of the time, running around with nobody on it. The libraries are empty when I go there to get books for my children. You can go to shelter and still get some food. We have a government that provides those resources. Ours have zero. $5, once I gave $5 to a homeless guy and he looked at it and said, that's it. I nearly snatched it back and took it back, but I left it with him. There's no appreciation of what we have. The children there, where I come from, to this day, appreciate what they have. They anger, like they have an anger, an assertion to learn. So much that they would devour every book you put in front of them. They do homework every day. I've told our children here that because they wear so many different clothes and have to make choices in the closets in the morning, they don't even want to dress up. They are stressed before they get in the classroom. Our children have one pair of uniform. They don't have to stress about what to wear. And when they get to classroom, they know their life depends on that education. And that's the difference. And they are happier. They are orphaned and happier than children you find in the schools here.
Your schools are helping 85,000 orphan kids whose parents died of AIDS. If there's a father tonight listening to you in a car and he's abandoned his kids, yes. Jackson, he's abandoned his kids, what do you say to that man tonight?
I would say God never gives up on anybody. There's still an opportunity. It doesn't matter how old your children are. It doesn't matter how long you've been gone. Go back to your children. The best gift God gives us as fathers is to care for those children, just like he cares for us. He never lets us go, no matter how far we go. No matter how deep our sins are, no matter how red they are, he promises us he will wash it as white as snow. I take care of, so I have four biological children right here in Michigan. I would do anything to spend a minute with them, to let them ask me questions, to play games with them, to go to the park with them. Some are frustrated. Maybe their ex-wives or their baby mamas are keeping the kids away from them. Get on the knees and pray to God to reunite you with your son or your daughter. It's the best gift you can give. And if you need more prayers, you know the number, call Jack. We will all form a circle around you and petition to God to help you reunite with your children. They love you. You love them. God loves us. And he's the best example as a father that we need to be the fathers on this earth.
www.nyakaglobal.org. If there's a 16, 17-year-old young man or girl listening who's quit school, run away from home, is just down in the dumps, what do you say to that young person?
Young man, young woman, if you are listening now, or grandma, or grandpa, or somebody sends you this tape to listen to, I want you to listen carefully to me. I went and spoke in Chicago, in the inner city of Chicago one time, and a young man who had been assigned my book to read came to me and said, when I read your book and saw how poor you were when you grew up, I went back home and got rid of the pills I was going to take tonight to kill myself. Why? Because he realized that I beat so many odds, worse than what he was going through. He had been to four different foster homes, and he was tired of being bounced. Nobody loves him. And I told that young man that if you still focus your eyes on God, and if you focus on your education, one day you'll be that person who will provide a stable home for anybody else you want to provide for. Guess where he is, Jack? He stayed in school. I'm still in touch with him. He has finished the Naval Academy. He's now a decorated officer serving our country and a father of one. You can do it, young man or young woman. You just have to keep your eyes focused on the prize and know that we who are here on this radio show and many other people can pray for you, will support you, whether we ever saw you or not, and you can do it. If I can do it coming from where I came from, anybody can do it, Jack, including the young person who is listening right now.
We're talking to C.J. Jackson Kaguri, the author of The Price of Stones, The Victory for My Village, and four children's books. As our time winds down together, could you lead us in a closing prayer, Jackson, please?
Yes, we bow our eyes and we bow our heads and close our eyes. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross. And you promised us that I will never forsake you or forbid. So we pray now that for those who are struggling in every area, especially fathers and the people Jack mentioned, a young man or a young woman who are lost, that you bring them together, Lord, and show them the way. We are here to be used, Lord, not only in Nyaka, Uganda, but all over the world. We pray for the parents, the grandparents, the fathers and the mothers who are taking care of children, and we pray for the grandmothers and the children who are all over the world suffering, whether in India or in Nicaragua or in Russia, that you shine your light to them. May they get to know you and prepare them for eternal kingdom. We thank you. We thank this radio show. We thank Jack for allowing you to use him. And like the radio show says, nothing is impossible with you. Continue to use us in your name, precious name of Jesus Christ, your Son, we pray. Amen.
And Heavenly Father, we thank you also for a modern day living angel, C.J. Jackson Kaguri. Thanks.
Amen.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasulo. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom.